Well, we want to welcome you to Bethany Gospel Chapel this morning, and I want to begin by saying that this week for my family is a very significant week. My oldest son, Caleb, will be graduating from high school on Friday, and we are very, very proud of our children, as all of us parents are. We were at an awards ceremony this week, and God has blessed my son with some amazing talents and gifts, both athletically and also in scholarship. The award that he won that really, I know, Caleb, that really brought the most joy to Carol and I's heart is the He was given the Bible Award for scholarly study of the Bible. And as they gave out the award, the person making the announcement talked about how the Bible meant so much to Caleb and that he had a personal experience with the author, and it was evident in class. I think you know, too, that Caleb goes to a school where they teach something very different from what we teach here. So to have won that award, I think, is really something, quite something. And so pray for my son, Caleb. And we actually, in that mind, as I've been thinking about that, our little assembly here is in a very unique situation. There are a number of kids, Joe and Josh, who have just completed their college career this week. And as many of you know, graduated with high honors. And are now out of college and wondering about the Lord's will in their lives. TJ is very close to completing his college education and is heading for marriage. Looks like the Lord is calling him away from here. His brother Stephen is like Caleb graduating. I don't know when Stephen's graduation is, but it's next year. Okay, he's a junior. Okay. My daughter Hannah and Esther are juniors this year, and David Burley is also technically a junior this year. And I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to them lately, but extremely gifted, not only athletically, but academically. And as I've been thinking about this talented group of young people here at the assembly here, they're in a period of their life where they're wondering what they should do. And I think all of us from time to time wonder, what is God's will for our life? What should we be doing with our lives? And especially in this transition period, here there is need for great wisdom. And so it's been on my heart perhaps for the next couple of times I get a chance to speak about wisdom and to speak from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. And I want to specifically challenge some of these young ones here to not be simple about life, but to seek the Lord's wisdom. And seeking the Lord's wisdom, there is an enormous amount of content in God's Word to help you out. And if you have not yet explored the book of Proverbs, you may want to take the month of June and July and dedicate some time to the study of the book of Proverbs. I think you will be absolutely surprised at how practical God can be and how many of the questions that you have can be answered through this wonderful treasure found in God's Word, the book of Proverbs. We're going to read a few verses here, and we're going to talk about wisdom, and we're going to talk about understanding. And there may be, for some of you, a lot of blah, blah, blah on the platform tonight, and so I'll just get to the goal right from the start. It all comes from the Lord. And it's as simple as that. It comes from the Lord. And we live in a society that even after we know that and we've been taught that, that deceives us into thinking it comes from other sources. And this whole book of Proverbs is saying it comes from the Lord. And that's the sermon this morning, basically. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll just read the introduction to the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. To receive that instruction, the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and its interpretation, the word of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That is the introduction to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, the first 10 chapters actually is kind of an introduction. After chapter 10, when you get to chapter 11, you find that there are a number of short sayings, sometimes a verse or two long, that say, this is how you handle this situation. This is how you handle this situation. This is how you handle this situation. Right towards very end of Proverbs, Hezekiah introduces his Proverbs. These are not all Solomon's work here in the book of Proverbs. Hezekiah's Proverbs are a little longer, a couple of verses longer, maybe 6 or 7 verses. This is how you handle a situation. This is how you handle a situation. At the end of the book of Proverbs, we are given an exhortation about what it means to be a woman. We don't read in the book of Proverbs what it means to be a man, but we read about what it means to be a woman that is honoring to the Lord. These first 10 chapters of Proverbs set the stage for how I will read all of those sayings. They give me the attitude that I have to have in order to receive those sayings. It's these 10 chapters in Proverbs that my next couple messages, I hope, Lord willing, will be about. Why is wisdom important? What is wisdom? And why are so many unwise and foolish? And what is the secret to being wise? The Proverbs suggest that it is something that we can grow into. It isn't something that you're born with. Praise God for that, because that's where I'm at. I don't feel very wise. God says, don't worry. God's given you a way so that you can add it to yourself, so you can grow into that and become wise. This is why Proverbs is so important. Keep your finger here and let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. We read this morning, 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And we'll just read a few verses here, verse 18 in particular, about wisdom. Verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words. That is not what God says wisdom is. It's not words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Coming down to verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And this morning we saw that the cross's message, which is foolishness to the world, embodies the very wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world says you must take yourself and your talents and your abilities and exalt them and make this place a better place. And because of your effort and your intellect, you will achieve greatness in God's eyes. The cross says no. The message of the cross says no. Not one of you in this room will ever achieve the status of the Lord Jesus Christ in what he was able to accomplish with his body and with his intellect in the flesh that he was granted when he became a man, when he became God incarnate, healing the sick, wise with his words, able to calm the seas. And yet, the path to glory for Christ was the cross. All of that type of thinking was crucified on the cross. Wisdom comes when I embrace that message. It isn't what I can do in my flesh with my mind and with my intellect that achieves greatness to God. It's when Christ receives the glory. It's when I put to death those things on my spiritual cross and take up that cross and follow Christ, and he becomes all in all. That is wisdom. That is what the Lord is saying here. It's the principle that guides wisdom. You can see those individuals that I've just mentioned, how there are those thoughts circling around you, even in the Christian, most of you are in Christian educational environments right now, those thoughts circling around you about what you can do with what you have and the great things you can accomplish. And in one sense, you want to do your very best for the Lord Jesus. Absolutely. You want to study your hardest and be the best. They should know you as the best at work. They should know you as the best in school. Not for yourself, but because of Christ, the power of Christ in you. You want to be attractive for Christ. Take what God has given you and use them for his honor and his glory. But at the end of the day, it is the power of Christ in you that is the secret to success. Another portion here in James, please. James chapter 1 about wisdom. James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He doesn't hold back. It shall be given to him if you ask. There's a promise there. But let him ask with faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, some of you are feeling that way right now. Some of you are in serious relationships. And there are times when you feel like you're in the sea and you're being tossed and driven and wondering what is going on. Some of you are wondering about school and finances and how to pay for things and a job, and there's a lot of things running through. What am I going to do? That's what wisdom is going to help you with. You're going to feel like this sometimes, tossed to and fro. When you receive the wisdom from God, he straightens all that out. And part of the issue is that you're not listening to what God has to say. We're going to see that in Proverbs. You've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. Part of it is that in the book of Proverbs, I hate to say this, kids, but I didn't write it. In the book of Proverbs, at the very beginning, your parents, God is saying, are the conduit to understanding wisdom. And that's one of the issues. Because as you get older, you tend to wonder about your parents. And my kids should wonder a lot about me, all right? You know, but part of that wondering is because we're in authority over you, and there's that time as you begin to start to get to that point where you're going to leave and go on, that you are wondering about that authority, perhaps rebelling a little about that authority. There's nothing necessarily unnatural about that, but there's a trap in all of those things that you need to work through, because Proverbs is telling you that the first defense, the first source of wisdom are your parents. Are your parents. And this portion in God's Word is saying, you ask God, God will provide that wisdom for you. Don't be double-minded. Don't be unstable. Ask in faith. Ask in faith. One last reading before we get to Proverbs again is in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. What does a wise man look like? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The wisdom of God is very different from the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men makes us proud. The wisdom of God makes us meek. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. Two sources of wisdom. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. And if that's what is in your life, you may be listening somehow in some way to the wrong wisdom. You say, that's not true, Tom. I'm careful about what I listen to. Listen, hold on. This is as our brother Dennis said, we're in a battle. And the enemy has all kinds of ways of getting at your mind. And his satanic majesty is interested in that. Getting at your mind, getting your mind to think the wrong way about everything. About church, about parents, about siblings, about life, about everything. He's very good. And I get duped all the time by him. Don't be afraid to say, maybe I've been duped. I'm listening to something I shouldn't be listening to. This wisdom, he says, doesn't come from above. But verse 17 says, the wisdom that is from above is pure. Memorize this verse. Pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. One of these verses that Carol and I memorized in college, she had these gems of verses that she would come up with. I'd been saved a long time. She had just been saved, and the Bible was like, wow, to her. And she had these gems of verses that we would memorize. This was one of those verses. It comes from above. That's wisdom. And if this is missing in your life, this is why the study, not just of the book of Proverbs, but the book of the Bible is so important to you. And so with those few verses, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want us to concentrate on these first nine verses. In these first nine verses, we have what is often done with books of the Bible, a promise. If you study the book of Proverbs, a promise, this is what you'll get. And for those of us who are results-oriented, the engineers in the room are shaking their heads, all right? Dad, I see that there. There it is. Here's what you're going to get if you read through the book of Proverbs. And the verse 2, 3, and 4, there is what we are missing today. Verse 2, if you read the book of Proverbs, you will know what wisdom looks like. and what instructions looks like, you will be able to perceive words of understanding. That's a big problem today, because there are so many sources of here's wisdom, here's what you need to do, here's how you figure things out. Is it really wisdom? Is it really sound advice? This is how you should handle your mother as she gets older. Oh, really? This is what you should be doing with your children as you bring them up. Oh, is that right? This is how you should be handling your health. La, 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 la. What does wisdom look like? That's important. You've got to get away from this simple-mindedness about thinking that whatever you accept at face value has got to be honest and true. The Bible says here, no, you need instruction. There has to be something built into your mind, and the book of Proverbs will help you to spot out what is good instruction. As we study this book over the next couple of sessions together, you're going to see that. Verse 3 tells us something else. This is another very important thing. Once you've figured out that, hey, what's coming is wisdom, I see it, this is good, this is from God, this is from above, the next thing is harder. How do I receive it? How do I take it and build it into my lives? Big problem in the Christian church today. We're great at hearing instruction from God's word, and we go out the doors and we don't do anything about it. We don't receive it. It's a problem in my life. The problem in our lives. God says, watch out for that in the book of James. Be careful about that. You deceive yourself in thinking that just because you've spent an hour hearing the word of God, and yes, you can rattle off a whole bunch of friends that aren't doing that, and you could feel pretty good about yourself saying, look at how consecrated I am to the Lord. I sit in these old wooden pews in that little church there that and listen to someone speak, and we speak for sometimes 45 minutes from our platform, and I listen, and then I leave, and yeah, wow. But the Bible says it's not about hearing the word, it's about doing it and receiving it. Verse 3 says, if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll learn to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Verse 4 is a little different. This is perhaps the thing that you need to work on the most. It's this word called discretion. This word called, he says, you read the book of Proverbs and it'll give subtlety to the simple. In other words, in throughout the book of Proverbs, the Lord comes down hard on people who want to keep it simple. Now, you're looking at someone who loves to keep it simple. At work, you know, IT comes up and gives me this new program on the machine, and yeah, you got to click that button, do this thing, take it, knock the machine down twice, unplug it, put it in, and then it'll come on out. And I say to IT, keep it simple, please. Keep it simple. You know, and I can remember once bringing, Kevin will enjoy this story. We brought a disc player, CD disc player to Gladys in the nursing home. And she wanted to listen to tapes at the chapel. We're setting the whole thing up, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it on. You know, my wife is very bright. She couldn't figure out how to turn it on. Couldn't figure it out. They just got to press this button. We call Kevin. Kevin went in to see Gladys. I don't even think you could figure out how to turn the thing on. Where's the big red button? Press it to keep it simple. I'm telling you, someone's going to make a fortune in that industry over the next 15 years. The keep it simple industry is a desperate need for it, but not when it comes to wisdom. Not when it comes to wisdom. And as you start to, and I know the temptation, especially for those of you in that age group we were talking about, how you don't want life to be complicated. You want it to kind of be black and white. You want the decisions to be yes and no. You don't want to have to overthink it. You don't want to, and there's a little bit of negativity about those in your amongst your classmates who are overthinking things a little bit and complicating things. But I need you to understand that as you read through the book of Proverbs, the writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, Hezekiah, the Holy Spirit of God says, be very careful about having a simplistic idea about life and life's decisions and life's choices. There needs to be, as verse 4 says, some subtlety to how you make your decisions, some discretion. and you don't have it. This is one of the most important things in the book of Proverbs. When you look at verses 2, 3, and 4 of the opening chapters here, it is suggesting that you're missing something, that you don't have it. The wisdom of this world says, look at what you have, isn't it great? And you're exulting in what you have. And God says, if you're interested in true wisdom, you're first going to recognize what you don't have and what you desperately need, and you need something from God. You need something from God. You don't have enough in your own resources. The book of Proverbs is subtly suggesting here to accomplish this thing called wisdom, to make right choices, to understand the way that you should go, to figure these things out, you need help from the Lord. And we read into the New Testament how that wisdom is actually Christ himself, a personal experience you have with the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, within your very soul. That is the secret to wisdom. How are you doing with that? When is the last time you opened up the Scriptures and the Lord personally revealed something to you? This is the thing that is missing today. It has been missing not just today, but down through the generation. The secret to young people having wisdom is a personal commitment to the study of God's precious Word and having an experience with Jesus Christ, Him speaking to you personally and putting what He says into practice in your life. And now, more than ever, now, if that is not a vibrant part of your daily day, that needs to happen. That needs to happen. I'm going to tell you something, kids. I grew up in an assembly. I would think I might be, no, but I've been in an assembly longer than most people here in this room. I was probably brought to the assembly when I was 6 months old. And the years when your faith starts to become yours often are these years between ages 15 and 25 as you start to embrace the truth of Christ for yourself. And part of what you're going through right now is that transition. I can't keep doing this because Mom and Dad say. It's got to be because Christ says it in my life. It's got to mean something to me. And so here is kind of how this book opens up. If you read this book, you're going to know what wisdom looks like. If you read this book, you're going to learn about how to receive it and build it into your lives. If you read this book, this thing that you're missing, this thing called discretion, is going to be put into your life so that you're going to make not just simple, poor choices, but wise choices, discretionary choices that honor the Lord. In verses 5 through 9, we read of three things, three attitudes that we must have if we're going to get these blessings. A wise man will hear. We talked a little bit about that. Part of the reason why people are not listening, are not getting the wisdom of Christ in their lives is because they don't think they need it and they're not listening and they're not hearing. They don't think that there's anything that they need to add to themselves. Have you noticed that? Be honest for a second, okay? Hasn't that thought run through your mind that you know more than your parents? No, it does. I mean, that's what the world does. The world comes to you and says, you don't need any more. You got it. It's everybody else that's lacking. You don't need to grow in it anymore. You've got the answers. You know, you've seen your parents, and if your mom and dad have had any game, they're good. You've seen their strong points and their weak points. And if you're a typical kid, you're remembering all the weak points. It's very hard to remember the strong points. And so you've got a lot of reasons why you can say, yeah, Mom and Dad didn't get that right. And when I'm going to do it this way, this way, this way. I get it. I'm not going to fight that, all right? But listen, at the end of the day, what can happen is his satanic majesty can get you into thinking that you don't need to grow in wisdom anymore, that you don't need to listen anymore. And this is why he begins, a wise man will hear. He will increase. He understands he's not got it all. He's going to increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain. There's another grow word. Get more. Attain unto wise counsel. He's going to understand proverbs and interpretations, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And so I have to have this attitude if I'm going to approach the scriptures, if I'm going to seek to enjoy the wisdom that God has. I've got to realize I still need to learn. I still need to attain. I still need to grow. Verse 7 then gives us the next thing that we have to understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom starts. And that word fear doesn't necessarily mean being afraid of God. It is a reverence and an understanding and appreciation of the greatness of who God is. Wisdom starts there. The wisdom of the world does not. The wisdom of the world says, you don't need to worry about what God thinks. In fact, we're not even sure God is there. That's why we saw in 1 Corinthians that thought there that Paul says, in the wisdom of the world, they didn't even know that God was there when he came. They didn't realize that he was there in his presence, that Jesus was there. That's the way the wisdom of the world works. You're blinded by everything. But the wisdom of the Lord begins with the fear of the Lord. I am concerned with God's attitude in my life. There's nothing new in this sermon, by the way. It's the same old, okay? God first. The Lord's will be done. What is it that the Lord wants? Don't lose sight of that. As you make your decision, as you do your planning, as you think about what God has for your life, the fear of the Lord, bringing God into that reverent place in your life, is the beginning of wisdom. Now, all those of us who are older Christians, and we think all of life's decisions have already been made, and we don't have to worry about this and that and all those kinds of things, that's not true. From time to time, we wonder, what are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? What choice are we supposed to make? We have a desperate need for wisdom as well. But sometimes that early fear of God that we had in our lives when we were first saved isn't there anymore. You see, the world likes to convince us that you can kind of still do it on your own. And even godly Christians who in their 20s and in their 30s were making solid spiritual decisions for Christ can find in their 40s and in their 50s that they stray from that. It's a constant thing that we need to be reminded of. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of making a wise decision. I come to a decision. What am I going to do about this situation? Where do you start first? What do I think the scriptures say the Lord wants me to do? And then verse 8, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The role of the father and the mother in your life is taught in Proverbs. It is. I can't escape that. As you get older, you tend to think less and less of your father and your mother. And even those of us who are later on in life, we have to be careful about that. And Proverbs will come to us, and regardless of whether your parents are men and women of faith or not, they are given a place of respect in the book of Proverbs. I cannot tell you how many times I have had to counsel young adults in their 20s and in their 30s who are wandering in the wilderness over the will of God in their life and struggling with things like depression, and the root of it is their opinions about their parents. They've not broken through what they should have broken through in those young teenage and in their 20s years, where there were those battles with mom and dad, and there were those struggles, but you break through it all, and you realize you put away those childish things, and you admit, I was really the jerk. My mom and dad were on my side, and it was my fault. And you go back and embrace them and bring them back into their lives. Do you know how many children in Christian homes who are into their late 20s and into their 30s, and they're not even at home anymore, but they still have issues that they are harboring in their heart towards their parents? And God wants you to get over those issues. You need to get over those issues. You need to get over those issues. I know what it's sounding like. You know, here's the parent up here telling you, you got to do it all. That's the problem with parents today. You know, I get it. I don't mean it like that. But I do need to tell you, it does seem to me that the scripture puts it on the child to recognize that they have to grow up. I had to do that. That's why I can tell you that. With my parents, I had to do that. And some of you in this room are shaking your head. I had to do that too. We all have to do that and bring our parents back to a place of respect in our lives. The book of Proverbs, for some reason, right in the middle and throughout the book, are going to say, your mom and your dad, there was insight there. Get back to what they were saying, and there is wisdom. And if you do these things, it shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. The wisdom of this world will drive you to be hard. It'll drive you to be tough. It'll drive you to have an edge. Carol and I tell our kids, go for the soft things. Don't go for the hard life. Go for the soft life. An ornament of grace. Grace unto thy head. It's nice, you know, because what we fill our minds with can be anything but gracious sometimes. Yeah. I work for this crazy company. You know, I get to work and you don't have time to be kind. You know, I think I have to be in at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning and I'm still behind. There's something wrong with driving to work and getting there at 4 o'clock and still feeling like you're behind, you know? And, you know, got to get this done, and there isn't a lot of time for soft talk and chat where I work. And I leave the day and sometimes they think, how my colleagues put up with me? And they're all doing it to me too. You know? Very little room for grace. I need to work on that. Because it shouldn't be like that. I shouldn't be like that as a Christian at work. But as you grow up in life, you want the wisdom of God that's going to make you into something that's gracious and kind and gentle. The wisdom from above. It's pure, peaceful, gentle, meek. That's what you want. And the study of the book of Proverbs is one of the greatest tools that you can have to gain these things. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I don't know if my dad is still doing this, but he used to study a chapter a day, once a month, outside of all the other reading that he had, a chapter a day. And that chapter a day, reading it over and over again, could be a good thing maybe for this summer. Read through it, study it all out. We want God's will for our life, and we need his wisdom, and God wants to give it to us liberally. He says, ask him for it and watch what God will do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we you've given us so much already. You've given us the life that we have, the energy and the ability to think and the senses that we enjoy. You've given us our families and a level of education, Lord, that all of us are very grateful for. You've blessed us with relationships with others, with plans for the future, with a bright hope. And then you come to us and say, and I want to keep giving it to you. I want to give you more, and there's one of these great treasures that you say you want to give us, and that is wisdom. And some of us, all of us here in this room, we are in desperate need of wisdom from you, and your word promises that if we ask without being double-minded, that we will receive it. So all of us here in this room this morning, we ask, Lord, for wisdom. We want to be wiser people. We want to know what wisdom looks like. We want to be able to, when we see it, receive it and bring it into our lives. We want to be men and women who aren't simple but are filled with spiritual discretion. So help us, Lord. Help us to hear. Help us to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And help us to honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long upon the earth. We pray for the blessing on our young people here at this chapel, and Lord, in particular for my son Caleb. Thank you, Lord, for his accomplishments. And we pray that you would bless him as he graduates this Friday and use him for your honor and glory. We now ask that you would bless all that was done here at the chapel this morning. And Lord, if there was anything that was good, Lord, that we might all be careful to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the honor and glory, in his worthy and precious name.